rationale behind SMRs is by building them smaller, they require lower capital, i.e. lower investments. They're quicker to build, and that's the part about the modularization, and therefore they have lower risk, and that makes them more easily financeable. And all of that packaged together delivers a lower price of electricity. So that's the principle behind of SMRs.
The era of global warming has ended. The era of global boiling has arrived.
The cost of renewable technologies, wind turbines, solar panels, batteries, have been falling far quicker than anyone expected.
We currently have about 7,000 kilometers of long-distance transmission network in place. We need to add another 4,000 kilometers.
We're proving simultaneously that it is the best job creator when you go green.
We want food security. We don't want to swap that for energy security.
What happens next is up to every one of us.
In this episode, I meet Alan Woods of Rolls-Royce. Alan is the Director of Strategy and Business Development at Rolls-Royce SMR, which stands for Small Modular Reactors. This is a specialist division set up to drive the company's strategy to exploit the potential of small nuclear reactors to play a significant role in the UK's net zero power generation strategy. I first spoke to Alan back in 2021, and since then there have been a number of new developments, although we still await a firm commitment from the UK government to use this technology. In contrast to the mega nuclear projects we're all familiar with, such as Hinkley Point C, which faces massively escalating costs and is running years, if not decades, behind schedule, Rolls-Royce's strategy seems reassuringly straightforward. By updating and improving a technology first developed in the 1950s for powering submarines, the aim is to help fill the gap that will be created by the closure of gas-fired electricity-generating plants. The plan is to use tried and tested small nuclear reactor technology as the heart of a factory-built series of standardised modules which can be transported by road and then rapidly and reliably assembled into complete working power stations. It's a sharp contrast to existing nuclear plants which are built on site and face delays due to weather and the many other variables which can all contribute to rising costs. This factory-built modular approach is intended to produce power stations able to deliver about 470 megawatts of electrical power, about enough to power a city the size of Leeds. Rolls-Royce says a complete station of this type will cost about £2.8 billion and have a 60-year lifespan. For comparison, Hinkley C would generate six times more electricity, was originally forecast to cost £18 billion, but this has now risen to £25 billion. But could it be that the real potential of small modular reactors is elsewhere in the green energy economy, most notably in helping to provide the huge amounts of additional electricity needed to decarbonise transportation, one of the most carbon-intensive sectors of the UK and other major economies? So, without further ado, let's join Alan Woods and find out more about this project and the role it might play in the UK's net zero ambitions. Alan Woods, welcome to the New Business of Weather podcast, Road to Zero.
Hi, Ian. It's good to be here.
Alan, we first spoke about the small modular reactor program some 2.5 years ago now, would you believe? And I'm sure there's been a lot of new developments to report. But let's start by asking you to tell listeners about yourself and your role in Rolls-Royce SMR. The company, I think, was set up to progress the Small Modular Reactor, or SMR, program.
Thanks, Ian. So, I'm the Director of Strategy and Business Development within Rolls-Royce SMR. So my role includes all of our business strategy, our customer engagement, our market strategy, and also any partnership strategy that we'll be forging over the course of growing our
business. Okay, thanks for that. Now, although it's a while since we last spoke, developments at a larger scale nuclear power front have inched forward. EDF had hoped that Hinkley Point C would start generation in 2026, some 10 years after the project was started. But this now appears to have been delayed until about 2030, 2031, whilst construction of Sizewell C is hoped to start this year. But what we're interested in here is something altogether different, the potential for much smaller factory-manufactured nuclear reactors to play a significant role in a UK net-zero power generation strategy. Now, when we last spoke, you said the SMR programme was 5 years old and that the aim was to design, manufacture and produce a total nuclear power station, which is commercially investable and financeable by private capital, and therefore able to make a significant contribution to climate change. So, first of all, can you briefly outline what SMR technology is? I'm thinking here of whether there's an agreed design for an SMR and to what extent the technology is new or is tried and tested. I think SMRs are what are called pressurized water reactors, which are a feature of nuclear submarines, but that they have been modified to make them more suited to civil applications and so easier to manufacture.
Yeah, so let me just start by explaining what SMRs actually are. So SMR stands for small modular reactor. So in principle, it's the same as a large plant, but smaller, modular, and that helps with the construction. Now, the rationale behind SMRs is by building them smaller, they require lower capital, i.e. lower investment. They're quicker to build, and that's the part about the modularization, and therefore they have lower risk, and that makes them more easily financeable, and all of that packaged together delivers a lower price of electricity. So that's the principle behind of SMRs. Second thing to say is not all SMRs are the same. There are many different designs, and you called out pressurized water reactor. That is a tried and tested design. That happens to be the Rolls-Royce SMR design. And whilst it's the same technology as our submarines, it's not the same reactor type. So when you say modified to make them more suited for civil applications, it's not so much modified. The core technology is the same, but it's designed specifically with the civil application requirements in mind.
Okay, now you mentioned there are a number of different designs around the world. I've heard there are something in the region of 80. So what is it that sets your design apart from the others?
Yeah, so if I come back to the terminology S, M and R, the S, well, we are smaller than a large plant, but we're probably one of the largest SMRs, and that's quite simply a function of the plant requirements that we applied. One of our requirements is for all of our modules to be road transportable, and that singular requirement for road transportable units sets the power level, i.e. the maximum amount of power we can get from a road transportable module is determines our output, which is 470 megawatts. From a modularization perspective, we are very different. So we've taken an approach which isn't about building very large single module structures. It's about repeatability, deliverability, constructability. It's about moving modules into a factory approach and a production line approach where we can test them in the factories and transport them to the site for final assembly. So what that means is we reduce all of the people on site because we've moved a lot of those people into the factory environment, and that moves away from a large one-off infrastructure project to a factory repeatable product. So our approach to modularization is very, very different. And then finally, we're not a reactor, we're actually a power station. So what's also sets us apart is we're designing an integrated power plant and we're modularizing at power station level. And again, all of those modules are designed to be road transportable. If we have to take them apart to transport them, we lose the benefit. So that's really what differentiates Rolls-Royce SMR from many of the other technologies. Of course, we are pressurized water reactor, and some of the SMRs are different technologies as well, which would mean they've got other challenges around regulatory processes, fuel routes, and other aspects of the infrastructure associated with nuclear deployment.
Now, homing in on your own work, can you bring us up to date and say where the Rolls-Royce SMR program is now in terms of a production SMR, and when you anticipate the first of these will be generating electricity? Is there a prototype already in operation?
Sure. So we're currently, from a design and licensing perspective, we are now coming towards the latter part of the stage two of the generic design assessment in the UK. So what that means is it's a three-step process. We're in the middle of it. We're just over 2 years into it. We're probably the most advanced, we're certainly in the UK, the most advanced SMR technology through that regulatory process. Others have just started that process. In parallel, as part to meet those requirements of the regulatory process, we're starting to do what we call our validation and verification activity. That's physical testing of aspects of the power plant to prove the design to prove it prior to production. And then from a production's perspective, we're not in full-scale production at the moment, but what we are doing is constructing prototype modules. We're constructing and building long lead prototypes for our nuclear island major components. So a lot of the physical activity is now ongoing on the plant. All of this is aimed at achieving our schedule, which remains intact, and that targets us for generating electricity in the early 2030s. The reason I say early 2030s is because some of the activities that are within that schedule are not within our control. They would sit within the customer landscape control and will necessarily be dependent on the site and the location of the power plant. So that's why we say early 2030s within our schedule. There isn't a prototype. We won't need a prototype. We'll go into full-scale production, and that's a function of the fact that the technology is a well-understood and proven technology. We don't need to run technology prototypes for this particular technology. And then finally, from a commercial perspective, the UK government has launched GBN last year, and GBN is in the middle of running its process for selection of technologies, and we sincerely hope that we will be selected as part of that process during the latter parts of this year.
How much electricity would a single SMR provide, and what would be the lifetime of such a device? I think you said in the past that one SMR could power a city the size of Leeds or over 60,000 electric cars. Is this pretty much how SMRs are still expected to perform?
So from our perspective, yes, that's still the same power output, and that's equivalent, as I said before, 470 megawatts or equivalent to a city the size of Leeds. That's not to say that's the true of all SMRs. As I said previously, all SMRs are different. They're not all the same, and that includes different power levels. But from our perspective, yes, that's still the right size for our SMR.
Right. Just picking up on a point you made in your last answer, GBN, the government is moving towards GBN towards the end of this year. What exactly does that involve? What is GBN?
So GBN is Great British Nuclear, and Great British Nuclear has been established by the government to accelerate the deployment of nuclear in the UK to meet the 24 gigawatts of new nuclear target that the government set out. So GBN, Great British Nuclear, will act as effectively the early developer of this technology, i.e. our customer, and they are currently running through a process now to select or down-select technologies from a number of applications which were made to GBN for UK deployment.
Moving on again, I think it's fair to say that the key to the commercial success of any SMR program will be the ability to factory produce each unit, so as to make the process as cheap and as reliable as possible. In effect, to make an SMR an off-the-shelf piece of kit. So just where are you at the moment in terms of building a factory to manufacture your SMRs? And what are the main challenges that have to be overcome here? Is it the nature of the factory and the manufacturing processes that will be used? Is that the main challenge? Or is it more to do with the financing of the factory itself?
So let me start with where we are with factories. So we've selected a number of options for the site for our first factory, and we're completing the design of that factory. And the reason that's important is when we talk about productionizing or moving the product into a factory environment, the design of the product is very important. But equally, the design of the factory, is very important. We have to design the factory to be able to manufacture that product in an efficient manner, in the same way as we design the product to be manufactured in the factory. So we have put a lot of effort into the design of the module factory environment. There will actually be multiple module factories. It's not just a single factory that makes all of the modules, and they're classified as per the quality requirements and standards that each module needs to exhibit. So in terms of where we are, we've not started building the factory yet. We don't need to yet, as it's not on the critical path of our program, but we will be starting to think about building that in the coming probably 6 to 12 months. The next important thing to say is the processes. So yes, you rightly call out that where are we with manufacturing processes? Manufacturing processes are what make the factory efficient. We have to optimize all of those. Now, we do all of that activity in what we call a pre-production environment. So we don't need the factory to be built to prove our manufacturing technology and processes. And those activities have been carried out in a number of areas around the country, in Sheffield and in the Midlands, in the various technology centres that exist across the UK.
Now, how many SMRs do you hope to manufacture each year once production starts? And once the first production versions have been produced, how long would it take to produce the power station big enough to power a city the size of Leeds, say?
Good question. So our manufacturing capacity per year is really determined by what's our optimum rate through the factory. And I say optimum because if we make the factory too large, you start to damage some of the economics of the factory, whereas equally if it's too small, you damage them the other way. So there is an optimum size of factory footprint to make these modules and make the products. With us having a number of different factories, we have to play tunes between what's the optimum rate across that suite of facilities, such that we don't create bottlenecks at any point in the total supply chain or module supply to the site. So we're operating on a rate of around about one unit per annum initially. However, if we need to ramp up that rate, we can replicate the factory footprint and replicate the supply chain that feeds those module factories. So it's a scalable solution determined by what the market demand will be from a production capacity per year. We're currently working on an initial capacity of, as I say, one per year through the first suite of module facilities. And once we have those up and running, we will be building our power plants. The total build of power plants in the modules construction from module construction to site completion is around 4 to 5 years.
Okay, now, can you actually give some figures for how much each SMR is expected to cost and how much electricity each one will be able to produce? I've heard the figure of £700 million per SMR mentioned when it comes to making a single one. Is this still pretty much the figure?
Right. Well, you'll hear a lot of figures around SMRs, and it's important to ensure that we're comparing apples with apples. So 700 million figure is probably for the reactor. As I said at the start, one of our differentiating factors is we're designing and providing the complete power station as Rolls-Royce SMR. So we've modularized the total power station, not just the reactor part. The reactor part is probably around about 25% of the total capital cost of the power plant. If we're going to solve the problems with nuclear, which is they are over budget, they take too long, and they're high risk, we have to think about the total power station. We have to think about commercial simplification across how we deliver it. We have to modularize across that total power station. So our approach is to sell that total power station solution, and therefore the total power plant will cost in the region of just above £2 billion. That's for 470 megawatts of electricity. So that's for that city the size of Leeds. That's the total power station. That's the all-encompassing cost. What you will hear in the market is numbers that are associated with just the reactor island, because many technologies supply the reactor, and it's up to the customer to determine who will provide the other parts of the power plant solution. You've got to add all those costs together. So that's where I say make sure we compare apples with apples when we're talking about capital numbers for the power plant.
What's the expected lifespan of an SMR power station?
Yeah, well, ours is designed, so the baseline design is for 60 years.
60 years, that's pretty quite a long time.
It is, yes.
Okay, now, how will the cost of the electricity produced by SMRs compare to large-scale nuclear generation and to the current cost of wind-generated electricity to look at the other end of the scale, perhaps?
Okay, well, let me just break down. When we talk about cost of electricity, there are various components of cost of electricity. Everybody gets fixated on the capital cost. Now, that's important, yes, but it's also important to recognise two other aspects associated with the capital cost. First is, how long is it going to take us to build it? And the second is, what's the risk that's going to be attributed to that build schedule? So from our perspective, we spent a lot of time designing into the power plant, yes, a smaller capital cost. So the power plant is smaller, so it's smaller capital cost by default. However, we've also designed it specifically to have a shorter construction time. The shorter time we're building it over, the lower the financing cost of building that power plant, i.e. we're not borrowing money over a longer duration if there's debt associated with financing. The third aspect is design risk out. So we have to design risk out because risk is what is the premium that's attributed to the cost of borrowing. So if we can design risk out and we can demonstrate that that is the case, then we achieve a lower levelized cost of electricity. We also have to focus on the operational cost of the power plant. That equally plays a significant role in the cost of electricity. So designing the power plant for a very high capacity factor, for short maintenance periods, and for high levels of certainty during operation, that reduces the overall operational cost per year and also feeds into that levelized cost of electricity. So we're anticipating that our cost of electricity will be in the region of, we say, 50 to 70-ish pounds per megawatt hour. The reason for the range is there's many, many variables that feature in that equation. So yes, it depends largely on the cost of finance. It'll also depend on the site itself. It also depend on which unit we're talking about, hence why we talk about that range. So SMRs do purport to be cheaper and at levelized cost of electricity than large. Whether all of them prove that remains to be seen. We are absolutely confident ours will be because, as they say, we've designed for those factors of lower capital, remove risk, and shorter duration to build it, along with reducing the operational cost of the power plant. When it comes to the comparison with wind, well, again, we have to make sure that we're comparing apples with apples. So nuclear power or SMR power will provide 24/7 electricity, 24/7 clean electricity. Wind doesn't, and you'll notice this morning it was on the news that the government is considering building additional gas-fired power plants to ensure we've got that security and resilience in the grid when the wind isn't blowing, the sun isn't shining. So doing a direct comparison of the cost of wind when the wind is blowing versus the cost of an SMR, which is 24/7, is not really a fair comparison. To make it completely fair, you would have to add to that £40 per megawatt hour of wind the cost of storage for however long you would want to store the power for, to make it a dispatchable form of clean electricity that is comparable with SMR. So they're doing different things, in a nutshell.
Right, okay, thank you. Now, where would the SMR power stations be located? Would they occupy the same sites as existing nuclear power facilities and so able to make use of the existing transmission infrastructure? Or would they be located elsewhere, perhaps closer to the large towns where the demand for electricity is greater and so minimise the need for any additional transmission infrastructure?
Well, we're not responsible for selection of sites as Rolls-Royce SMR. That is done through the government siting policy. However, pretty much across the industry and the government, everybody notes that the most sensible place to build SMRs is on existing nuclear licence sites. And that's for many reasons. Yes, as you point out, you've got existing infrastructure, not just transmission infrastructure, but you've got the existing site, existing regulatory regime around that site, and you've got an existing population which knows how to operate these power plants. So from our perspective, yes, we locate them on existing nuclear license sites to start with. On whether you could locate them elsewhere, closer to large towns, well, you know, in theory you could, but you have to ask yourself, why would you? As you get closer to large towns, there's better use of the land than for power generation, and you can transport electricity relatively easily. So we don't envisage that we would suddenly be going building these in close to larger towns. We will focus them on the existing nuclear license sites.
Now, in one programme which mentioned SMRs, it was said that a major role of the SMRs may not actually be in producing electricity for public consumption at all, but instead to help decarbonise the transport system by generating the large amount of electricity needed to produce green hydrogen and also synthetic aviation fuels. Can you say more about this potential role for SMRs?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, SMR, we have to look at the total energy system, and actually when we designed our SMR power plant, we designed it for a multitude of applications. So for example, as you mentioned, green hydrogen, synthetic aviation fuel. The reason for this is these fuels are, well, first of all, if we look at energy, total energy demand, we often get fixated by electricity. Electricity is probably only about 20-ish percent of the total energy we use. Certainly in a UK context. If you look at the rest of the energy, it's split pretty evenly between heat and the transport system. Now, both the heat network and transportation systems are pretty much still dominated by fossil fuels. So if we really want to decarbonize the energy system, we have to look beyond just the electrical grid. And we've got to look at how we decarbonize transport and heat. Now, there are a large number of solutions for decarbonizing those. Most of them put a reliance back onto more electricity. So for example, if we lose electric cars, you're putting more of a electrical vector into that transportation network. We have to generate and distribute the electricity. Similarly with the hydrogen economy and synthetic aviation fuel, yes, there are different ways of generating hydrogen. One way of generating hydrogen is through electrolysis, and that's one of the routes that we have designed our power plant to do. Basically, we take both the heat and the electrical output to optimize the efficiency of generating hydrogen. Yes, we have to address how SMRs can play a role in decarbonizing the total energy system, particularly in those hard to decarbonize sectors such as transport, and that's a particular focus, of course, of Rolls-Royce. Synthetic aviation fuel is a key focus to it. That the company is working on.
Right, okay, now, just want to pick up on a couple of points you mentioned earlier, the maintenance aspect and also, following that, the clear-up aspect. While not a renewable form of energy as such, nuclear is now regarded by many as a pretty clean form of energy, although there is, of course, the issue of disposal of spent fuel and of the reactor itself once it reaches end of life. We mentioned the cost of an SMR, around £700 million for the reactor component, which is about, you said, 25% of the total, which makes about £2.8 billion for the entire SMR power station. But does this cost incorporate any element of waste cleanup or end-of-life disposal? Or are these extra costs which need to be taken into account?
No, these are not extra costs. So unlike other industries, actually, we have a regulatory requirement, a legal requirement, I think, to demonstrate how the waste will be managed throughout the life of the power plant. So what that means is the costs of the decommissioning and cleanup are baked into the overall levelized cost of electricity that we were talking about earlier. And the way that's done is it's built into the operational costs. You pay what's called a decommissioning levy, or through what's called funded decommissioning plan. And that's effectively, if you like, a pension fund where you pay it annually into the fund, and that is then used at the end of life of the power plant for all the waste management and cleanup. So it is all funded as part of the levelized cost of electricity calculation.
So it's a pay-as-you-go sort of preparation for a cleanup type scheme.
similar, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Just want to move on to the finance and investment aspects now. Now, when we last spoke, you said a consortium led by Rolls-Royce is talking to investors to secure an initial £300 million in funding. Has this consortium changed since then? And can you say where you are right now in terms of fundraising? Did you get the £300 million?
I think when we last spoke, we were a consortium. Since then, we have launched the company Rolls-Royce SMR, which is a subsidiary of Rolls-Royce, but we also have three other shareholders. So our current funding is from the shareholders and through a government grant award of, in total, £235 million it's been. So that's our current funding, and it will continue to be our funding is from our shareholders and through that government grant. In terms of the partners we have, so many of the original consortium members are still partners to our business, and our partnership process is very important to us. I talked earlier about our differentiator being we're delivering the total power station. Now, that necessarily means we have to bring the right partners to the business to help us deliver that capability. Now, where this differs from traditional nuclear is we're bringing partners in who are wedded to or have a vested interest in the long-term success of our business and the long-term success of the product. So they are very much in that product mindset where they get their returns from selling multiple units. That's a stark contrast from the traditional nuclear world where you would have partnerships based around single projects where the interest from the partners is to maximize the return on that single project. So taking that very different approach gives us a different way of working with those organizations where we're all pulling in the same direction. We all have the same end game in mind. And that plays out in terms of the productionization and the reduction in cost because we're not looking at this through single project. We're looking at it through that multiple rollouts of a fleet product.
Just going back on that one a little bit, you mentioned earlier on about Great British Nuclear, which the government was going to set up. If Great British Nuclear is set up and you become a chosen company to manufacture the SMRs, what will that mean financially? Will you get more money? I understand at the moment that the whole company... You're funded to the tune of about £490 million. What would the advent of Great British Nuclear mean in terms of your funding?
Great British Nuclear will ultimately be our customer. And look, the business, like any business, becomes self-funding once we get into the rollout of the commercial contracts to deliver our power plant. So right now, yeah, I think you're referring to articles around the current phase of funding, but this is normal for any business. We raise funding from our shareholders and other sources in tranches. So the current tranche takes us to early 2025, and we have numerous options to how we continue that funding beyond that stage, including we'll have income that at that point from Great British Nuclear. And there will be other sources from shareholders and other options we have. That's completely normal for any business in the state, in the majority position that we currently are.
There will be an opportunity for new shareholders to come in as well once the project gets rolling.
Potentially. But as I say, there's many different options that we have for ongoing funding of the business, and our current shareholders and our board will look at all of those.
Now, Rolls-Royce and your partners, clearly you want to make SMRs a commercially viable business. With some 80 designs around the world, competition could be incredibly tough. So tell me, how many SMRs would you need to produce a year to make it commercially viable?
I think I spoke earlier about our factory footprint is initially designed to produce one per year. Now, that's the maximum that suite of factories footprint will be able to deliver. It's not the same as making it commercially viable. So commercially viable, we could produce less than that. But clearly, the fewer we do, the more suboptimum you are in the factories. So we're aiming for initially for that one per year. In terms of, there's 80 SMR designs around the world. They're in vastly different levels of maturity. Some of those are very novel technologies as well, and they're called so-called Gen 4 technologies, or advanced modular reactors, as the UK government calls them. And they may be for timeframes that are beyond the early 2030s when we're seeking to deployment. So there's not 80 that would be considered as near-term deployable. But look, I also come back to the scale of the market here. And I referenced previously the fact that we look at the electricity market alone. And if electricity is about 20% of total energy, nuclear today in the world is around about 10, 11% of the total electricity generation. So it's a very fraction of that total energy. And when we look at the solutions to decarbonize, where you need heat and power, all of a clean nature, there aren't many options that can scale up and deploy that level of capacity, and nuclear is one of them. So actually, the challenge here is not around the market and how many competitors there are. The challenge is here is how we scale up and how we can deliver quickly.
Now, just picking up on a point there, the Rolls-Royce itself, the main company, you know,
designed to be replicable means we don't have to redesign it for each project, which is a traditional challenge of nuclear power plants in other areas of the world.
Right, okay. Now, Rolls-Royce itself, the engine manufacturer, has established a tremendous reputation as an exporter. Would you be able to export these SMRs if the opportunity arose, or I believe that you said, you once told me that you had all the intellectual property on these reactors yourselves. Does that enable you to export if you wanted to?
Of course. So we Rolls-Royce is a global business. Rolls-Royce SMR is also a global business. We have to look globally. We're not just looking at the UK. So, yes, of course, export is a big part of our business plan. We have to be delivering these power plants internationally for us to be that global business. Our factory footprint will be designed, as I say, to produce a particular drumbeat, and it will sell those modules to power plants, which will be in any location around the world, in principle. Equally, we also have to look at the option for what we call manufacturing hubs, because we can build the factory footprint, but we've got to be cognizant of the supply chain that's got to support those facilities as well. So we don't want to be wedded to single suppliers. We want to create international supply chains that create opportunities for at the supply chain level for partnerships to forge across international boundaries that then can then prove beneficial across other industries. So the global nature of this is not just around where we sell the power plants, but it's also around developing that supply chain and those supply chain partnerships that will help us provide that consistent delivery approach across multiple jurisdictions.
Now, just moving on again to what some people might consider to be the biggest variable of the lot, government policy. Now, a commercially viable SMR program will, in the shorter term at least, depend on the commitments of the UK government. It was back in May 2021 that a UK government policy paper stated that advanced nuclear technologies have an important role to play in the transition to a low-carbon economy. Now, we're now at the end of the first quarter of 2024, almost 3 years on. We're still awaiting for some serious commitment from the UK government. From my point of view, this probably seems that you might be a bit frustrated, but I'm sure you probably know a lot more than I do. So can you bring me up to date with government policy? You've mentioned the Great British Nuclear Programme, but can you give me a little bit more detail around government policy as you currently understand it when it comes to the application of nuclear to achieving net zero?
Sure. Well, let me start at the top level. Government has been absolutely unequivocal that it supports nuclear power, and it's supporting a new nuclear build program, and it's stated in its policy papers that we need 24 gigawatts of new nuclear by middle of the century. That's a serious commitment from the government. Now, that's great in policy terms. What government have also done, though, is launch Great British Nuclear. Great British Nuclear is the vehicle that's established to facilitate the delivery of that. So the commitment right now from GBN is great. They're running the process. We're in that process. The process will conclude this year. Well, the initial stage of that process will conclude this year. And we sincerely hope that we'll be part of that down selection. So right now, the government is running a robust process and it's running into the schedule they said they would. And actually, that's the commitment we need. The only thing that we press for is let's maintain the schedule and maintain the pace. That's important because, yes, we need it, but equally the nation needs it for our net zero ambitions and our energy security.
By the end of the year, we could have another government. So have you had any discussions with the Labour Party about the future role of the SMR programme and what role it might play in UK electricity generation should Labour form the next UK government?
Yeah, I think the Labour Party has been pretty clear that they have a consistent energy policy with the current government and that they would continue to support new nuclear and SMRs. So we're pretty confident that if there should be a change of government, we would see a consistency in approach to how we're going to move forward and deploy SMR technology.
Right. OK, now moving towards a conclusion, I'm just getting out my crystal ball here. In terms of the UK's ambition to reach net zero by 2050, what role do you believe nuclear power as a whole will play in decarbonising the UK's electricity supply to help achieve this target? And following on from this, to what extent do you anticipate the Rolls-Royce SMR programme can seriously contribute in the drive to net zero?
Yeah, so look, nuclear, from my perspective, is absolutely a fundamental part of the future energy mix. But it's part of a mix. I'm not going to say it's the only solution because it's not. We need more renewables. We need other technologies. The scale of the challenge here is enormous. It's not just about electricity. It's about that total energy system across electricity, heat and transport. So nuclear has to play a role. SMRs have to play a role. However, they can only play a role if they can demonstrate that we can deploy them competitively. That means deploy them on time, deploy them on budget. And once we do that, then our challenge is going to be how rapidly we can scale up.
It must be a this is my final question, by the way. Now, just looking forward to the future of Rolls-Royce itself, this must be a really exciting time that here is a technology which, you know, is to some extent has been around a long time, but in many other ways is yet to see itself, you know, the technology realise in terms of what it can actually achieve. So tell me, is it envisaged that the SMR programme might have a key role to play in diversifying Rolls-Royce away from being mainly an aircraft engine manufacturer to a company with a more balanced portfolio comprising aero engines and factory-produced nuclear reactors?
Look, nuclear has always been a part of Rolls-Royce's history since the late 1950s. Nuclear has been a key part of the business through the submarine program. Rolls-Royce has also had civil nuclear activities over the course of its lifetime at several stages. So first of all, it's nothing new that nuclear is a part of the Rolls-Royce portfolio. From an SMR perspective, you will have heard the Rolls-Royce CEO talk positively about SMRs, talk about our strategy for SMRs. And it is all about partners. It's a partnership strategy. So we need to bring new partners to the business that can help us deploy and help us scale up and help us internationalize the business. That's part of the strategy that he talks about, but he will also talk about the significant role that he believes SMRs will play into the future. So I think that gives you all the indication you need to know about where Rolls-Royce is positioning this business, the commitment that Rolls-Royce has to this business, but also the commitment that Rolls-Royce has to bringing in additional partners to assist in growing the business on that international stage.
Right. Well, that concludes today's interview. Alan Woods, Director of Strategy and Business Development at Rolls-Royce SMR. Thank you so much for your time today and all the very best to you and your colleagues with this exciting venture.
Thank you very much, Ian. It's been a pleasure as always. I look forward to speaking to you again in the future.